This weekend, once again, the nation will honor those lost in war, those who are veterans, and those who still serve. But as the country winds down from two more wars, Delmarva Public Radio essayist George Merrill writes, our memorials seem to have changed over the years.
I visited Washington, D.C. some years ago with an old friend, Jack. We toured the war memorials. Over the years, I'd come across war memorials in local parks or seen others in center cities. They always appeared high and lifted up, designed to inspire lofty sentiments of physical courage, duty, and honor. The memorials were grand statements about the conduct of war. We went to the World War II memorial first. It was open and spacious like a Roman portico, and while not as magisterial as statues of men on horseback holding swords, the kind I'd often see on town greens, there was still something noble and grand that the monument conveyed. It suggested to me a quiet and formal dignity, like an old memory. I saw an elderly man. He wore an old uniform, the kind issued during the Second World War. On the arm of his Eisenhower jacket, the three chevrons and rocker of the platoon sergeant showed. The man was a veteran. He wore several ribbons. Why was he here? Did he come to remember the combat or to recall the camaraderie that soldiers develop? Perhaps he was remembering lost comrades. I don't know. I didn't speak to him. We went next to the Korean War Memorial. I had a different reaction to seeing it. It did not seem grand at all. It was somber. That memorial portrays foot soldiers doing what foot soldiers always do, mostly slogging along in the mud while carrying their rifles. It was overcast that day in Washington. The soldiers wore ponchos, so I guess they must have been marching in the rain. Their expressions appear ghost-like, weary, and impassive, as if life had been drained out of them, and with nothing left, they could only move like automatons. It's a statement of quiet desperation, bleakness, but also the determination to survive. The impression isn't grand or lofty, more like the realities of war, endurance, hardship, monotony. We left. Then we visited the Vietnam War Memorial. Here you don't look up. You descend down into the earth. Below ground, I see the names of those who lost their lives inscribed in stone, like names on grave markers. Here and there, people have left flowers or notes written and pasted up over names. Occasionally, I'd see a card left on the ground as if it was there waiting to be delivered. A woman gently rubbed her finger back and forth across a name. She seemed lost in thought. I think the Vietnam Memorial brings home what Thomas Gray's elegiac poem does, that the paths of glory lead but to the grave. Jack found his cousin's name. He stood looking at it for a few minutes. Names make things personal. As I considered what to write about our upcoming observance of Memorial Day, I thought of that day in Washington. On reflection, I see a trend. War memorials are becoming less grand and glorious, and instead reveal the down and dirty of real war, its bleakness, its loss, its carnage. I find that hopeful. As romanticizing war becomes less credible, we might find ways to resolve our conflicts less violently. There's no greater honor we might bestow on our fallen brothers and sisters than by beating our swords into plowshares. It was in that hope that they gave their lives for us and for the country. On the Shore, by George Merrill.